Welcome to the Back 'Em Down Podcast. It's your host, Coach Johnson. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the surprising news, including Doc Rivers and the Philadelphia 76ers, as well as break down Game 1 from the NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. I want to start the show off by talking about the surprising news coming out of Philadelphia as the 76ers and Doc Rivers have agreed on a 5-year deal for him to become the head coach of the 76ers. There's been a lot of ramblings about Mike D'Antoni becoming the coach, but Elton Brand didn't want to go in that direction, and the front office did. Elton Brand wanted to go with Tyronn Lue, but the front office did not agree with him on that. But they're able to come to an agreement on hiring Doc Rivers as the new head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers after being let go by the Los Angeles Clippers. The main deal is that Doc Rivers can coach. He is a good coach in this league, but it's going to come down to what Philadelphia does with the roster and if Doc Rivers can make the Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid relationship connection play styles work. If he can build that connection, it looks a lot different for Philadelphia. But I honestly think he can help those two players grow and mature as pros, which may clear up a lot of their issues. But I think it's very clear that Philadelphia is in win-now mode. They're not trying to waste any time. But the most important thing for the 76ers front office is going to be making moves to improve a very flawed roster that needs a pure point guard that can knock down a shot, and they need a stretch four to play next to Joel Embiid on the front court. So my suggestion would be Danilo Gallinari and Chris Paul. Not saying I know who Philadelphia would give up in that trade, but those are two players that are going to be widely available that you might be able to make a trade for if you're the 76ers. But another interesting note with the Doc Rivers hiring is that there's a possibility that Alvin Gentry is going to join his staff as the associate head coach, head assistant, whatever you want to call it. And by adding Alvin Gentry, I think that will immensely help the Philadelphia offense, especially in the places where it stalled out and became very stagnant at times during the regular season and in the playoffs. All right, let's get to the breakdown of the first half of Game 1 of the NBA Finals between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Miami Heat. Starting in the first quarter, there was something that I saw defensively from the Lakers that I thought was very important for them to do moving into this series, especially in Game 1 to get off to a great start. And what I noticed that Boston didn't do that the Lakers were doing is that whoever was on the strong side of the pick and roll between Adebayo and whoever the ball handler was pulling in and leaving. Most of the time it's Robinson sitting in that corner, so those teams have a hard time helping off of him. But the Lakers sacrificed that anyway to take away the role man in Bam Adebayo. And there was just a lot of times last series the Celtics wouldn't come off of him and Adebayo would have an easy role. And the Lakers made it a priority to take that away and not allow those easy baskets. You could tell early that the Heat were wanting to attack the Lakers at a lot of pick and roll. So that's something that they're going to have to continue to focus on throughout the series and be ready to guard a lot of pick and roll action. The Heat were doubling, and the Lakers were doing a great job of getting player and ball movement in this first quarter. One thing that allowed Miami to end up jumping out to a big lead is that Miami was able to use their principles and scheme from the Milwaukee series and apply it to this game early, and they had a lot of success of slowing down LeBron in transition and walling up as they did with Giannis. With Jay Crowder guarding Anthony Davis, it allowed Miami to stay small and keep a consistent scheme. And this is important, especially for when the Lakers go quote-unquote small and put Anthony Davis at the five. So they don't have to really change a whole lot defensively when they have these versatile defensive players. But it was a great close to the quarter from the Lakers, who ripped off a 19-3 run, capped off by a corner three from Alex Caruso. And that was enough for a 31-28 lead after the first quarter. Miami came out really sharp, but the Lakers adjusted quickly and put their stamp on this game. Moving into the second quarter, it really feels like lineups are going to have a big impact on this series. Both Miami and the Lakers have a lot of options and a lot of depth to play. So it's going to be important for both teams to find the right combination on both ends of the floor. I was a little surprised to see how much dribble penetration that Miami was able to get versus the Lakers defense early on. And it's important for the Lakers to keep the ball in front because Miami thrives off of the dribble drive, dribble and kick, part of their offense to get open shots, especially in the corners. You know, the biggest question for the Lakers is that if the other guys on their team, their role players, are going to do enough to switch Miami's game plan, or will Miami just be able to stick to their guns and continue to do what they do best? You know, I had imagined that Miami wouldn't change a whole lot in their philosophy and principles for this series, but with the way that the Lakers role players were playing early in this game, you've got to try to do something else, because the Lakers were shooting 9 for 15 from 3 to start, and that is big with how Miami was trying to play them, especially LeBron and Anthony Davis. And eventually their defense caught up to their offense, talking about Los Angeles, as it really found its groove versus the Miami offense in the middle part of the second quarter. They were staying disciplined, battling versus cutters, and not giving up any type of openings to Miami. Then Miami tried to throw their zone in this quarter. And the most important thing for the Lakers moving forward and throughout the rest of this game was that the key to beating Miami's zone is to distort the matchups. And Lakers went to a pick and roll versus Miami's zone. Boston had success against it, but now the Lakers have LeBron James tacking downhill. And it's just very tough once he's able to get into the meat, the middle of that zone, and find the shooters that were knocking down shots in this game. The Lakers' defense was really locked in after a rough start, and the key was just staying solid and forcing Miami deep into the shot clock. And this allowed the Lakers to build their lead as they held a 65-48 lead at the half. Miami started 9 for 12 from the field, good for 75%, but since that moment, the Lakers have held them to 10 of 32 shooting, which is good for 31.3%. I really thought the game changed when Dwight sat down. Nothing against him, but it's just a completely different series than what we saw against Denver. And him in drop coverage and ball screen situations were just opening up too many things for the Miami offense. But when they subbed in Markieff Morris and had Anthony Davis at the five, and they were trying to run those same ball screen actions with those two, it gave Miami a lot different look, and it resulted in a lot different than when Dwight was in the game. I will be back shortly to wrap up the show after a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Now that we're back from the break, let's jump into the second half. Starting off the third quarter with how tough of a spot that Miami was in with Jimmy Butler rolling his ankle and Dragic going out of the game with his injury as well to his foot. They really needed Duncan Robinson on the floor for his offense, but he was hurting them defensively. But that's the price you have to pay and the risk you're willing to have to be willing to take with Dragic out. One thing that Miami really needed to do was find a way to open things up with him and Adebayo in their dribble handoff game, which is one of their best actions in their offense to get something going in a positive fashion. This just isn't a series where Miami's can survive by not shooting the three well like they were against Boston. The Lakers will make them pay too many times. And staying on the topic of Miami's offense, if they're not going to be able to penetrate and open up the Lakers' defense, it's going to be really tough for them to score in the series as it was in Game 1 after the first quarter explosion. And the Lakers were able to make an adjustment offensively by putting LeBron on the side to post up or go in isolation where Miami is not able to send doubles and show the same level of help as they did in the first half when he was isolating from the top of the key. And another thing that the Lakers were doing is running that side pick and roll for LeBron in the second half and allowing him to attack out of it, finding his teammates in good positions, whether on cuts or on the perimeter, to knock down threes. And by doing this, they're putting a lot of pressure on Miami to help and causing them to overhelp at times as well. And the Lakers outscored Miami 28-19 in the third quarter to take a 93-67 lead into the fourth quarter. You know, it really felt like the Lakers quickly pivoted lineup-wise and felt it may be a big series going in. And it turns out that it's not, as the Lakers can throw the kind of small lineups that switch and defend you and give Miami problems while still having Anthony Davis and or LeBron on the floor at the same time. Moving into the fourth quarter, the Lakers had completely taken over this game at this point. Anthony Davis was just thriving in the dunker spot in this game, and Miami had no answer for it, especially once Bam Adebayo picked up his injury as well to go along with Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic. And that was just among a dozen of the Heat's problems at the moment, but this is a big one because if they're going to allow Dwight Howard, Anthony Davis to really just dominate that portion of the floor, and they're going to have to put more focus on trying to take that away, then there's not going to be help when LeBron drives, not going to be help when he drives and kicks it and not doesn't look to score. And then you're going to have to pinch in, and shooters are going to be getting clean looks from the perimeter. So this is very much a big problem for the Miami Heat defense and something they're going to have to try to figure out and pick their poison for one of the two, or just have to hope that the Lakers role players don't hit the same amount of shots that they did in Game 1 when we have Game 2 tomorrow night. And, you know, with the injury to Dragic, at least Miami was able to get some good minutes out of backup point guard Kendrick Nunn as he was back into the rotation with that injury to Dragic. And he was able to chip in 18 points in his minutes in the second half as he was able to get to the basket. He was able to knock down mid-range jump shot, even hit a corner three, and put a lot of pressure on the Lakers with his quickness and athletic ability. And so hopefully that gets him going, especially if Dragic is not able to play on Friday. But even if he is able to play, he's probably not going to be 100%, so they're going to need Nunn to provide good scoring minutes off the bench, but also play great defense. And while it seemed like the Lakers have let their foot off the defensive gas here in the fourth quarter, they were able to put the game away. And, you know, it's just a great reminder that the Lakers playing small with Anthony Davis at the center position and LeBron at whatever position you want to put him at is just unfair to any team in the league, and especially this Miami team that doesn't boast the same size as them. But the Lakers take game one of the NBA Finals, 116-98. You could tell that things really turned for the Lakers once they took Howard out of the game and went small. The Heat stayed small guarding Anthony Davis, but I just don't think it's going to be sustainable for them throughout the series. The Lakers did a great job of attacking the double teams, so it's going to be interesting to see if Spoelstra is able to make an adjustment, whether that's a lineup adjustment or just a scheming thing. But I could see Spoelstra maybe going a little bit bigger in game two with Myers Leonard. Probably going to have to play a Linux some and giving the Lakers a little bit different look with some more size on the front court. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Beckham Down Podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. If you want to become a monthly contributor to the show, please click the link at the bottom of the show notes. We made it to the weekend. We got a big game two tonight in the NBA Finals to see if the Miami Heat can bounce back and tie up the series, or if the Lakers are going to be able to go up 2-0 in the NBA Finals and be two wins away from securing their 17th NBA Final and LeBron claiming his fourth NBA title as well. It's going to be a very interesting and fun night of basketball, but I hope everyone enjoys their weekend, and I can't wait for you all to tune in to the next episode of the Back 'em Down Podcast.